Welcome to the Hyphen Church Podcast, where faith meets the spaces in between. We're here to explore what it means to belong, to grow, and to encounter God in the midst of life's questions and complexities. Whether you're here to listen, reflect, or take a step forward, know that you're in the right place. Let's make space together for what God is doing in us and through us. Now, let's dive into today's message.
And this is our last week of our surprise series, The Unexpected Acts of God. And this is a record setter. This was 8 weeks. This was one of our longest series in the history of our short but happy life. And so we're on this last week, and I extended it 1 week because I think that this Sunday, which is Pentecost Sunday, I think that it does a really good job of really taking all the themes that we talked about over our surprise and the ways that God is acting unexpectedly in our lives and in the story of His people and His creation. I think it does a great job of putting all of that together and saying, hey, here is what we can learn. Here's the things that we can do. He really just interrupts our expectations and just invites us in to a deeper sense of trust. And so this morning, the Pentecost text, which we always are here on Pentecost, but I've never preached the actual text before. We've always read it and moved on and done something else. So this morning, I decided we're going to preach the Pentecost text and how it can surprise us, how that God is working in that to surprise us. So that is Acts 2, 1 through 21. So if you want to open there to your Bible or your approved electronic devices, you can read in the YouVersion app as well. We've got that pulled up and it will be on the screen here. I'm going to read this. I know it's a long portion, but again, it has to be read together so that we get a really good sense of how God is working in this scene. So when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. I just want to stop there for a second. I know it's only one verse in, but I just want to stop there and tell you. Pentecost doesn't happen because of the Spirit coming down. Pentecost is already a Jewish festival, all right? So when they say it was the day of Pentecost, they're not saying we're looking back at what happened on this day. No, Pentecost was already a Jewish festival. This is the Greek word for the festival that they are doing. So they're already there. They're already moving to Jerusalem. We know they want to be there because they want to celebrate in the festival. Okay, verse 2. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Now, utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galatians, Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medians, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Now, amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, there are a lot of ways that we could preach this. There are a lot of images in here that we don't understand. Tongues of fire, breath of heaven, people being considered drunk. We're going to speak this morning on speaking. We're going to talk about the language that they were able to work with and how they were able to communicate with each other. I remember when Miranda and I took our honeymoon, we went to Italy. We were staying in Florence, and we heard a lot of Italian, like a lot of people spoke Italian there. And so when we had each other, you know, we could speak in English, and that was really great because we knew how to speak English, and we did not know how to speak Italian, so we had trouble communicating with people. And I remember one night we were going for pizza, and we sat down at this table with our little pizzas there, and this other couple came and sat down at the table with us. It's kind of like a free-for-all, basically. And we're like, this is going to be so awkward. Here's us two Americans who only speak English, and here's another couple who have just sat down with their pizza. We're not going to be able to speak. Well, it turns out Harry and Robin were from Dallas, and they were the first English speakers we had met in Italy. And so we finally were able to have an adult conversation with two people in our own language, and it was marvelous. They were there celebrating, I think, their 40-year anniversary. We were celebrating 40 hours of marriage, and it just was great. Harry and Robin, we'll never forget them because we were just washed in English. We can finally speak this. We can finally communicate. We can finally understand what's going on. Now, there is a story in the Bible that's like this. There's a story in Genesis 11, the Tower of Babel. And what happens is that humanity looks up at God and thinks, we can do better than this. We can build a tall tower and we can reach God. We can go to the very heavens where he dwells and we can have perfect harmony with him, whatever we do. And so the story goes is that God saw this. He saw their enterprise. He saw their what they were trying to do. And he knocks over the tower. He scatters people and gives them different languages to speak. And so all of their confusion comes because they can't speak. They're not speaking the same language. And the idea goes that up until that point, they all had the same language and they could communicate very well with each other. And so this is what we're doing in this portion of the Bible, in Acts 2. This is the great reversal of communication. This is taking the Tower of Babel from Genesis 11, and God is saying, let's reverse that. Because for so long, and we read in verses 10 and 9, 10, and 11, we read about all the parts of the region that these people were from, and that they all spoke their own individual languages. And so all of these Jews that had different languages were coming up to the temple, and they could not communicate. They could not talk to one another. And so what happens here is a reversal. God says, let me reverse what's happening here. Let me send the advocate, let the Spirit come. And the first thing that we're going to do is we're going to be able to speak to each other. We're going to be able to communicate in each other's language so that we can talk to each other. So the Tower of Babel is this scattered language, and Pentecost is this reversal of that. The Spirit reunites humanity through language. We mention this all the time, John 1:14. The Word became flesh. God came down and moved into the neighborhood, as the message says. And so Pentecost continues this idea that God still comes close to us. that God helps us understand that he continues to come close so that we can make all things possible through him. And so it's this reversal of centuries of misunderstanding and division and confusion and scattering. And so instead of confusion, there now comes clarity. Instead of scattering, there is gathering. Instead of human pride causing division, there is divine grace creating an understanding of all people. See, it's not just overcoming language barriers, but it's a reversal of the entire story. Our entire story, the Jewish line up into us now, that the idea that we cannot talk to each other, we cannot communicate. You see, the miracle of Pentecost is not first about power, but it is one about presence. Each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. See, God does not wait for us to learn his language. He comes to us and he speaks ours. He enters into relationship with us and he speaks in ways to us that we understand. Some people really enjoy worship and they have this great outpouring of love and the spirit in worship. And you see YouTube videos of people just worshiping on their hands and knees. Some churches, they dance in the aisle when they really feel groovy about that. But some people catch the spirit. Some people hear the language of God through worship. And other people hear the language of God. They hear God speaking through prayer. That in their silent prayer time, they hear God and they get a sense of how God is moving. And other times they'll hear God speaking through his word. They'll read the Bible, they'll read a passage, and they'll meditate on it through the day or through the week, and they'll just know that God is present because I can understand and I can feel that, and there's clarity in that. And so God moves in ways that get us to move. We can feel God moving because he can speak our language. He's not trying to make this difficult for us. There's not some sort of strange reception device that we need to install or we need, you know, we need to read the Bible in a secret special language. No, this is for everyone. The Spirit of God is not wanting you to climb some spiritual ladder. He is speaking the language of our hearts. And he comes to speak that language to all of us so that we know, that we understand. It's like sitting with Harry and Robin, that suddenly God just sounds like home. It sounds like someone speaking to us in a way that we've understood for so long, our native tongue. But I think that the real surprise here, I think that the real surprise in this story is God's method. I think the way that he does this and the people that he uses, that's what's going on here. See, in that upper room, in that room where they were waiting, where they were waiting for the festivities, they were not spiritual celebrities, right? They were not the best of the best. They were not the leaders of the Sanhedrin. They were not the temple acolytes. They were not the Levite priests. They were the disciples of a failed prophet. A prophet who was just killed. A prophet who did not come and do what we thought he was going to do. And so we sit there and we wait in the silence. These are not celebrities. These are not the people with power and money and influence. These are his disciples. They were tired and uncertain and grieving and waiting without knowing what they were waiting for. And this is precisely when the Spirit came. When they're waiting there in the uncertainty, in the tiredness, that's when the wind comes. Isaiah 40, he gives strength to the weary. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Pentecost is an expansion of all of this, filling of ordinary lungs. The breath of heaven comes and doesn't fill up those who have been ordained for special power or have this special touch or the ones that have been secretly trained to do these things. God's Spirit fills the faithful. He fills the ordinary men and women in that room, the disciples that he called his own, that he plucked out of obscurity and stayed in obscurity through that time. Pentecost tells us that when you are tired and not at your best and not sure what is next, that's the very place the Spirit loves to breathe. But notice that the emphasis is not just on speaking, but it's on hearing. Each one heard them speaking. It's not just that they could speak in the languages that everyone understood. It's that they heard. And in the biblical sense, we know this because we're smart people. When we read the word heard in the Bible, that means they also understood. So not just hearing and listening, but also understood what each one was speaking. Now, a lot of press has been written about speaking in tongues and understanding that principle of what does that mean to speak in tongues. What we're talking about here is speaking in a language that you do not know how to speak. Being able to speak in a way that other people around you understand. And so specifically in this moment, what we're talking about, speaking in tongues, is the ability to speak a foreign language, talking to people around you so that they can understand what you're saying. Now, we're unsure whether it was they all spoke a common language or they spoke their own language and the Spirit was able to interpret that in their bodies, or they were able to speak that language. We're not really sure what that means. But in this sense of the word, what we're talking about is not like babbling of the tongues or anything like that. We're talking specifically about how the Spirit is using the tongue, using words, using language to connect other people. So this is not just like a religious fervor or an ecstasy, or, you know, you see sometimes on the Pentecost channel where they get into a frenzy and they're doing all kinds of speaking in tongues. This is not that. This is not that. This is them being able to communicate for a very specific purpose to the people around them. And so that's why the emphasis is not just on speaking, but it's on hearing as well, because anyone could speak in a babbling of the tongue. You can just do that. I have a 1.5-year-old. She speaks in babbling of the tongue all the time. But this is not what we're talking about, because there is a specific reason for this communication. And so the surprise of Pentecost is that people from every nation and language heard and understood. It was this unity in diversity. It was all of these people together who were coming from a diverse background, who had never seen each other before, or maybe had seen each other in festivals before, but could not speak about their love of God to one another. And in this divided and polarized world, the Spirit forms people who listen and love across divides. And a lot of times in the church, especially in a Pentecostal church, you'll go into and they'll say, well, you know, you're not truly saved unless you have the ability to speak in tongues. They will say things like, you know, the evidence of the Spirit in your life is your ability to speak in tongues. And I just don't see that. I don't understand where that comes from, that gets to be the determination. What I do see, though, is that you want evidence of the Spirit in your life. You are now a person who can listen and love across divides. So if you want to speak about being able to talk to people that you can't communicate with, or people that don't speak your own language, there is a way that we as Christians are being formed into people by the Spirit where we can listen and love across divides. And whatever that divide means, whether that's a political divide, whether that's a language divide, whether that's a racial divide, whether that's a socio-economical divide, it doesn't matter. The surprise at Pentecost is that the Spirit comes and unites us in that. The Spirit comes and forms us into people who are able to listen and to love, not in our own language, but across human boundaries. We listen and we love because we are human and because God, as we read in Psalm 104 this morning, because God is the creator of all things. And so because he has created those people across the divide, he just didn't stop in this box. He's created people across the divide. And so we can listen and we can love. It's like a choir with many voices. It's a blend of different tones and textures and that creates beauty, not uniformity. Don't think that. Unity is not uniformity. It doesn't mean we're all the same. Unity means that despite our differences, we can come together. He gives us ears to hear one another in midst of our differences, the things that we have different from one another. And so Peter stands up and he says, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. This is not a one-time story, as we said. This was a festival. This was coming to and receiving the festival blessing. But it's the start of an ongoing movement. Here's where the story has started, but guess what? Here's where a new chapter begins in the life of the church and through Pentecost. The Spirit still speaks, it still breathes, it still invites us to be people who listen to God and receive fresh breath and learn to listen and love across divides. Now, Peter's sermon there is not necessarily theology. He's not putting together like this theological treaty to say, you know what? Here's the way that we should believe, and here's all the things that are happening. But he's actually just sort of giving a personal testimony to help people understand what they're feeling, what they're seeing, what's happening. He says, upon all flesh, not some, not select, but upon all flesh, the young and old, the male, the female, the slave, the free, your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Even your slaves, men and women, will have prophesy. That's incredible. That's incredible that the Spirit wants to come down for all people. Not just people that have a secret formula, not just people who can, you know, give more money at the temple, not just for people who have it all figured out. The Spirit comes down for all people. The Spirit poured out without our usual boundaries, without our understanding of who these people are. It doesn't stop to say, who are you? Now, the people did. Aren't those just those dirty people that, how can they be speaking in a language so sophisticated as this? What's going on with their voices? How come I can understand them? It's like, a pastor from Dallas stands up in front of Harvard. And they're getting a very strange accent. I'm not used to a Texan speaking in Harvard. What could he possibly know, being from Texas with that drawl? We're sophisticated language here at Harvard. And so this is what they were experiencing, something going on. It's very confusing for them. And so Peter's explanation means that God's gifts aren't limited by our limitations, that God is going to use us and use people that we do not expect to do extraordinary things. Peter's explanation leads to an invitation. So that ultimate invitation includes everyone. He says in the final verse, he says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not the expected, not the obvious, not the credentialed, not the ones giving much more at the temple. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's a salvation offered to all who call. You know, one of the really interesting things is that Paul writes about this very thing in his letter to the Corinthians. He talks in 1 Corinthians 1. He's saying, look at who we were before we were called. We were nobody special. This was not a calling on the lives of people who were important or big in the world of religion. But remember your calling. Remember who you were before you were called. You were not of status. You were not of importance. And yet he still called us. He still was able to join together in all of those things, the unity of the Spirit, and that we could listen and we could speak. And that was exactly what it said in Joel, the prophesy in Joel. I will pour out my Spirit on all people. And so I think there are two big things that this means for us. I think there are two big things that we can take away from this, and sort of as we learn to speak in a way that other people will listen to. The first one is that God uses the unexpected to reach the unreachable. God really chooses the overlooked for his important work. He chooses people who are not of importance, not of the greatest thing. Background doesn't disqualify you. Education limit doesn't limit God. Social status doesn't determine usefulness. God specializes, by the way, in using the unexpected people to help him. Look at Moses, the stutterer, and the murderer. Look at David, the murderer. Look at Jonah. He was scared, tried to run away. Saul, murderous, revengeful. God continues to use people who do not fit our expectations, because he was a Messiah. Jesus was a Messiah that did not fit our expectations. And what's better to see, though, that God comes down and uses the already powerful to tame the world, or God comes down and uses people of no importance and invites them into a new way to live and changes the world through those people who are not important? Because if we were going to invent a God, that's the way we would do it. We would say, this is a God who comes to the mighty and the powerful, and that way everything that he tries to do will succeed. But the problem with that is even the powerful try and succeed. God is better than the most powerful on earth. God doesn't need the most powerful on earth to work. He's going to work through us ordinary people. Because that's the kind of God he is. We can break down barriers linguistically and cultural and social and economic. You know, the new wave in missions is not to train people here in the United States and then go to the Congo or someplace in Europe to work with people, but it's really to train people there in that culture, in that language, in that social economic situation, and create missionaries in those countries. Rather than creating missionaries in these countries and sending them over there, we want to start creating missionaries in those cultures. We want to plant churches in those cultures, in those places, so that the churches there in those places can be raised up as believers in unity with other believers across the globe. It's not us being the savior. It's not us, white America, trying to go over and create another white American church there. It is we need missions in those churches. We need to raise up good biblical churches in the Congo, in Europe, so that you can hear from God in your own language. These are breaking down those barriers. People couldn't hear before. People who couldn't understand before could now hear and understand. And this creates fresh opportunities for gospel. And the second thing I think that it tells us is that the Spirit speaks your language so that you can speak his love. This gives us a great opportunity because we know what love and grace and compassion feel like. We feel that in our lives. We feel that in our hearts. And so that allows us to continue that. It allows us to move in that direction and give other people love and compassion and generosity and hospitality and opening those things to other people. See, spirit gifts are for mission. They're not for personal benefit. Again, this is why it's just not babbling in tongues. It's not just saying, oh, they have the gift of speaking in tongues. It was for everyone's benefit that this happened. Not for individual disciples, but for everyone. Disciples didn't receive gifts to feel special. But the purpose was to reach the scattered, to include the isolated, and to see the overlooked. Reach the scattered, include the isolated, and see the overlooked. That sounds a lot like the mission of the church. That sounds like what the Spirit has empowered us to do is to reach the scattered, to include the isolated, and to see those who have been overlooked. That's what we are empowered to do by the Spirit. We think that we've been empowered by the Spirit to come here and worship and pray and do all the things that we need to do as Christians to get through. But it's not for us. Spirit's power is not for us. It's for the benefit of all people. This shows exactly how the kingdom spreads. Because we receive the Spirit and know the language of the Spirit, we can scatter that language in our context with our neighbors. And if we don't speak their language, if they don't understand us, let's find out how we can do that. The Spirit opens those doors. The Spirit provides a way. And if you don't think that they can, if you don't think that the Spirit can do that, the proof is right here in Acts 2. The proof is in Pentecost, in receiving that fresh wind, that fresh breath to speak to those who are unreachable. It really reveals divine priorities about who gets heard. Our gifts are for others' benefits. And so, just as a way to wrap up this whole series, God is using us in ways that are going to surprise us. God is using this church in ways that are going to surprise us. God is using His kingdom not for our benefit, not to gain power and wealth, not to accumulate things. God is using the kingdom to further His name. His people are known by the kingdom. And if you think the church is the kingdom, we're wrong about that. The church is one way that the kingdom is advanced. We participate in the church and we advance the kingdom through the church, through our love and our grace and our compassion and our understanding. God might choose us, not because we're qualified, but because we are available. And so we have to ask our question, not are we qualified, but are we available? Are you available? Are you open to a Spirit who's going to open doors? Are you open to a Spirit who's going to lead you in unexpected places to unexpected people, who's going to cross divides? Are you willing to be part of reaching the unreachable? Are you willing to be a part of a church that wants to advance the kingdom of God? Not because each individual member has the power to do that, but the Spirit comes on all of us to say, how are we advancing on this? The Spirit of God speaks to us, empowers us, and draws us together, even in the ordinary places and across our deepest divides. The story isn't over. The wind is still blowing. The fire is still burning. We are Pentecost people. We have that same Spirit in us. But we have to be available and we have to be ready.